This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve!
A balloon.
Steve! A blimp? We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy.
We've got wall-to-wall entertainment on a Friday edition of One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, ready to rock and roll our way into the weekend. And we'll have to wait a little bit longer for Bills football, which will not come our way until Monday at 5 p.m. But, hey, Steve and I will be back here on Monday to shepherd you through the afternoon tailgate party that you're having at your house or God knows where in preparation for that big AFC tilt on Monday at 5.
But AFC tilt.
But before that, we have a Friday to plow through, and we are jam-packed, people.
Let's go.
Okay, Tasker's teammate, the latest installment coming your way at 12:25. And we get to that early in the show because a little bit later we'll check in with Maddie. The Bills are practicing today. It's a Thursday-type practice, not a Friday-type practice, which is usually shorter and not as much to see. So Maddie will check in with us as we try to get a layout of the injuries and where everybody is. And it's more of a real practice as opposed to yesterday, which was a jog-through variety, just being 2 days removed from the Tuesday night game. So I think we'll get a better assessment as to who's got a pretty good chance to play on Monday today as opposed to yesterday. Then at 1 o'clock, it is time for the lowdown with the Lorenzo Alexander. So we'll get an update from him and get his take on what he sees heading into this matchup with the Chiefs. And then at 1:25, NFL film senior producer Greg Cosell joins us, who will have some pretty interesting takes on the defensive approach that both the Raiders and the Titans took against these two respective quarterbacks last week.
Yeah, they'll be breaking down, and it's an NFL matchup show, they'll be breaking down the Bills-Chiefs game big time.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be a featured game for sure on ESPN, the NFL matchup show. And then Maddie has an interview with Andrea Kramer, a longtime NFL reporter, used to work for ESPN, Emmy Award-winning journalist and analyst, and now going to be doing this game between the Bills and the Chiefs on Amazon Prime, where the game is streaming. So she will be there to cover the game, and Maddie will be talking with her. That'll be at 2:30. So we are full,
yeah,
to say the least. But
busy headed into the weekend.
Not so full that we can't take your phone calls at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, or your questions on the OBL mailbag at One Bills Live. So any and all questions that you have on the Bills are welcome, as they are every Friday. And Steve and I will do our best to address those. And we also, every Friday from noon to 3, are here to help. We are here to be your football therapists as you try to balance your football life and your love life, knowing they very often intersect in very uncompromising ways during football season.
It's not just about your love life either. We've already got some people tweeting at us with some work-related issues in their relationships and how they're going to handle their Bills fandom. So we'll get into those as well. So the football crisis hotline is already being used, so we'll get you some of the problems other people have so you can feel better about yourself.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And there is entertainment value in that way with
there
that.
Is,
there's
yeah.
no question about it. And I guess the first thing we should address, though, is Le'Veon Bell made a decision. He signed with the Chiefs, a one-year deal. Late yesterday it was announced. So before any Bills fans get in a tizzy, I do want to also point this out. He will not be eligible to play on Monday against the Bills. So he's got to go through what are 6 days of COVID testing protocols before he can even practice with the Chiefs, let alone play in a game. But Le'Veon Bell will be in a Chiefs uniform probably as early as a week from this coming Sunday. And everybody has already marked the date on the calendar. The Chiefs play the Jets on November 1st, which I think is week 10, if memory serves, or week 9. I'll have to look it up. But in any event, November 1st, I believe, is when the Bills or when the Jets play the Chiefs, and, you know, they'll make a big deal out of it. I found some of the responses, Steve, or the analysis by Chiefs reporters out of Kansas City to be very interesting with respect to this acquisition. There are many of them who feel that Le'Veon Bell was a necessary addition because they've had a lot of trouble running the ball between the tackles. And that was the one knock on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Low to the ground, but not very big. And he has had trouble in short yardage. He has had trouble running between the tackles. He's a fantastic back catching the ball out of the backfield, Edwards-Helaire, and he is very good at running off tackle. But in between the tackles, the Chiefs have had their problems running the football. A lot of the analysis coming out of Kansas City is that Bell can help there.
And yeah, good for them. I mean, it's a great signing. There's no question Le'Veon can play when we've seen it. And I went back today and watched the week one game, Jets-Bills. He looked good. He played pretty well in that game. Now, the Bills did a nice job against their offense, but I think it was more so that Sam Darnold couldn't find anybody than it was that Le'Veon Bell couldn't run. He had some good runs in that game. He also had a nice catch down the sideline for a 20-plus yard explosive play. The guy, we've said it yesterday, he can really – he's a pass catcher. So he brings something to the Chiefs, and I think it's a great marriage for them. But by this, like I said yesterday, except for the Jets, Le'Veon Bell would help just about any team in the league.
He would, and, you know, he's going to have something to prove. I think he wants to prove that the bad marriage in – you know, speaking of football crisis hotline, the bad football marriage with the Jets going to a place where it was pretty readily understood that Adam Gase did not want to pay that money or have that guy on his roster and then spent a year and a half denying it with the media and, you know, running behind an offensive line that paled in comparison to the one he ran behind for so many years with the Steelers. His yards per carry average with the Jets was a full yard below what his career yards per carry average was. It was 3.3 to 4.3. And so I think he's going to be very motivated to prove that he still has something to offer from a playmaking perspective, not only to help the Chiefs win a championship, but to get himself a nice contract in the offseason. Because I don't know if he's going to be there more than a year, or the rest of this year, I should say.
Right. And, you know, the Dolphins, it was is on record, it's been reported that they said, you know, they'd offered him a 2-year deal.
Yeah, they were ponying up a lot more money.
And he said, you know, I'd go to the Chiefs and see if we can get a world championship. And for him, with a 1-year deal, it's probably a pretty good deal for him. It's pretty enticing. And I think for the Chiefs, just like I've said about Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, you get a guy like that on a 1-year deal where he still wants to take another swing at the pie. And to get another big contract, that's the perfect time to get him, and the Chiefs cashed in on it, I think.
Yeah. We should get to some of these things now, since we are pretty jam-packed through the course of the show today. We do want to get to the Football Crisis Hotline, and you can weigh in with your issues that need some solving at 803-0550. But from John on Twitter, in responding to the Football Crisis Hotline, asks, how much Bills gear is too much to wear to school on Monday? And then he conveniently throws in, Steve, I teach in Kansas City.
Right.
So he's, you know, he's living smack dab in the middle of Chiefs Kingdom. He wants to wear Bills gear on Monday. Now, this is before the game is played, obviously. He's going to teach at school. So
I don't think there's an unacceptable level of Bills gear in that situation. I think the
so you want to rub it right in their face as much as possible.
You gotta, yeah, because certainly if the game goes your way, you look great. If it doesn't, you got to be ready for the aftermath.
Yeah,
but I don't know what level of school you teach, whether it's a middle school, a high school, or whatever. But it also, and believe me, I know you're. Like I always say, these Bills fans that are scattered about, they're pilgrims in an unholy land. But I don't think there's any – and he followed this up. He said, listen, maybe I draw the line at face paint. I don't know that I would draw the line at face paint. I don't know. Depends
spray
on,
the hair.
It depends on the school system and what they allow. But I would say no. Don't. There is no really
and
with anything within reason.
And I would say this
fine.
Too, I mean, John, yeah. in an effort to help you here. You know the level of fandom that exists at the school that you teach. I would like to think he's got a read on that
sure.
as to how passionate
how
the Chiefs fan base is there in Kansas City.
Imagine a Bills fandom in a Buffalo City. So it's pretty
right. So
pretty wall to wall,
right.
I would think.
It could vary sometimes, though, from school to school, I would imagine. So you have to get a handle on that. And then secondarily, you have to get a handle on just how much animosity there is for the Bills on the part of the Chiefs. Now, you know, it's obviously going to be different if you're a Raiders fan coming in decked out in silver and black.
Right.
That is a
right.
much different scenario than the one that you're bringing to us here. So I think the vast majority of what you intend to wear is probably going to be totally on the level. And you may get a couple of snide comments, but I don't think it's a situation where he's going to have to go in with a helmet for fear of, you know, retribution for
yeah.
wearing Bills colors.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Not. I'd say in this in the current state of affairs, because the Bills and, like you said, the Bills and Chiefs don't face each other that often. And so, therefore, I think you can kind of go a little bit overboard knowing that you're not going to have to do this twice a year if you're a Raiders fan or a
yeah.
Broncos fan or what have you. So, yeah, I would say you can pretty much put your foot on the gas and go for it.
And as Steve said, though, you have to be prepared to face the consequences if, in fact, the Bills can't come through for you on Monday night against the defending
right.
Super Bowl champs. And you got to face the music the next day. That's part of being a fan, too.
You got to be prepared, too, because you know how this always goes. Somebody will make some cockamamie bet.
Like
if the Bills lose, you got to do this. If the Bills win, you got to wear that. You got to do that. So be careful of that, because what happens is
it's a trap.
Once you make a bet like that, then the next kid makes a bet, and all of a sudden you got 25 of those things going on. And you'll never get out of the hole if the game goes bad. So don't do that. Wear the stuff, but yeah, don't get yourself into trouble for a month and a half.
Okay, moving on. Football Crisis Hotline. What's your emergency from Nick? After the Bills started 4-0, I moved into a new apartment in a nicer area with better management and lower rent. Sounds good. Then in the first game I watched in my new apartment, we lost. How seriously should I consider breaking my lease and moving back to my old place?
Okay.
Now, Steve, this is a superstition on a
very,
absolutely. Very, very high level.
That's absolutely right. Now, it is a consideration, no doubt. But what I would do, I would try some things first. Now we got, because it's early in the season. First and foremost, you got to do something different when you watch the game this week. You can't just like go. You got to exercise those demons from that first game in Tennessee by doing something deliberate for this game, and hope that it helps or works. And I would continue to try that until you feel a little less hope than you do now. I mean, you're playing the defending world champion, so you want the Bills to look good. Even if they look good in a losing effort on Monday night, that doesn't, you know, doesn't necessarily mean your superstition didn't work. But that's what I would try first. Certainly, moving back to your old place isn't an option. But I would wait until you try and get into a groove in the new place before you do that.
Yeah.
What do
and,
you think?
And, well, I think if he did anything. We know the venue is a different element here, and that's what he's focusing on. But, Nick,
right.
I would say this. I wouldn't just focus on the venue change. I think you have to think back and try to remember if there was anything else about Tuesday night that was different for you as you took the game in from the previous four weeks? Besides the venue and the date, like, did you wear the same Bills gear again? If you did, well, then you know it's not that. Did you eat the same stuff? Were you with the same people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I think you have to run down your checklist to see how you took the game in Tuesday and how much, if any, did it differ from the way you took in the first four games, aside from being in your new place.
And I know it probably felt kind of cool to be in your new place and all that, but you have to get to a place where your new place has a routine on a game day. Now, Tuesday is not a good time to start a routine.
That almost makes you toss it out.
Yeah, that almost makes you throw that game out as an aberration. But I would deliberately put a lot of thought into what your routine on game day is going to be. Now, even this Monday, a Monday at 5 o'clock, that too is a little bit of a wrench in the works of a routine. So you got to think deliberately about it. And I would project it onto the backdrop of a Sunday 1 o'clock day rather than a Monday at 5 p.m. like this one's going to be. So there's a lot going on. There's no question. I think this last game against Tennessee threw a lot of people's vibe off about how they took in the game and what it meant because it was Tuesday night and da-da-da.
Yeah.
So don't bail out on your new place yet. I would try all of these issues. I would really do some deliberate thinking about how you're going to take it in and what it's going to look like on a Sunday at 1. Now it's going to be hard because this Monday at 5 p.m. thing is going to be a crusher for a lot of people too.
There'll be a lot of people getting out of work early.
Right? Yeah, or, I'm not feeling today, boss. I got to
take an early
right
departure. I got a gastrointestinal issue.
Exactly, whatever. Or if, the good company, let me just put it this way. The good companies are giving you noon is the, half day. Let's go. Right? If you're working for a good
Steve
company.
Steve has just upset the Buffalo Area Chamber of Commerce.
Right. If you're working for a good company, like noon on Monday, you're out the door.
Yeah.
Show up a little earlier, of course, but
So those are some of the early entries. So hopefully that helped there, Nick and John, our early entries for the Football Crisis Hotline and Tweet Sheet. So you can hit us up on Twitter at @OneBillsLive. If you have some issues between your football life, your love life, or your football life in general, and some problems therein, we can help. We have solutions for you. So either hit us up on Twitter at @OneBillsLive or give us a call, 803-0550. We're here for you until 3 p.m. On Friday, we also have the OBL fan mailbag, and we're taking any and all questions on the team. And we want to get to some of those now, knowing we have some guests lined up here in the next few segments. So from Steve, he says, with the trade deadline approaching, do you think the Bills make a move? If so, what position do you think they need to address? I think it has been readily apparent, Steve, that they appear to be thin at linebacker and at cornerback. Now, that's due in part to the fact that you have two of your top three corners injured.
Right.
You do that with any team, you're going to look thin and shorthanded.
Yeah.
But I would say linebacker right now, just because Dodson is literally learning on the fly. Delshawn Phillips is on IR. He's one of your better special teams linebackers. And the backups that you have, Tyrell Dodson is technically a backup Mike, and so is Tyler Matakevich. So I think you have to try to find some more athleticism out there at the linebacker position to play in the outside roles a little bit more in case, Milano, who knows? He comes back, he's back out again. Who knows how that's going to play out? He's had two different injuries in the first 5 weeks to miss time on the field, and he is your most athletic linebacker. So you take that athlete off the field, and, it's glaring, is it not? It's glaring.
Yeah, it is. They miss Milano's athleticism out there, no question about it. Dodson, I think, is going to play better than he has. I think he just needs reps. He's not really physically built to play Milano's spot. I don't think he has that kind of the loose hips you need to turn your hips and run with a tight end and then stop and break on the ball, that kind of stuff. But in run games, if you're thinking about that, yeah, he is that guy. And so's Klein in the run game. But, Dodson's just a better athlete than Klein is as well. So I agree. I think you need – every team in the league needs more depth at corner. They'll tell you that. Even the the ones
that's
going
to be harder to find.
That's going to be hard to find. Those guys are those guys don't just fall out of the sky. You got to go find them and draft them and trade for them. But as you're talking about the trade deadline, yes, I don't think there's any question, particularly even given the fact that the Bills, you know, we're looking at Le'Veon Bell when they've got Moss and
they'll
Singletary.
Be beating the bushes.
They'll be beating the bushes. And I think you may see them, there may be a chance that they go out on there and trade even for a big body down inside on defensive line. If they get the feeling if they need to be more productive down there, if somebody needs to be, if they need a bigger body to hold the line of scrimmage or win the line of scrimmage. But even so, you know, teams don't just part with those guys.
Yeah.
So it's been evident that, and Sean McDermott said it again yesterday, that's what they do. And I think Brandon Bean, unlike a lot of general managers in the league, he thinks it's his job to constantly look at who's available and see if they're going to make you better. And if there's a guy you want, how much you're willing to pay to get him, if that team will take that, get him. So I would not be surprised if they do make a move, because this is a year where, you know, you've got the bat in your hand and they're going to throw you, you know, you're getting a fat pitch over the middle. You got to hit it. You know, you want to make the most of this opportunity with this roster this year when the quarterback took this step. You got these wide receivers, these backs, and I think they're going to maximize this opportunity. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they do make a move. What that will be, I have no idea, because this is when the Bills are healthy, and I know a lot of Bills fans think this way too. When the Bills are healthy, they'll take on anybody, and you feel like you got a chance to beat them.
Staying healthy is the key there. Time for a quick phone call to Ken in Kenmore. Ken, what do you have for us? Thanks for joining the show.
Oh, thank you, guys. I listen all the time in the morning, and everybody's, you know, thinking about, you know, we're putting the horses ahead of the cart because, you know, we had four good games, but our defense is horrific. And a gentleman called on Howard Simon's show, and I couldn't agree more. They can't the outside edge. I mean, the defense is terrible, terrible. Even with the players that they've had in there, they're letting up too much yardage. And I know you guys are homers, but I'm a realist. Been a fan since Jack Kemp, 73 years old, but I'm a realist. And their defense is god awful. It's god awful. And like I said, I just want your comments on that, because Epinoza, I watched the guy zero in on him. The guy is terrible.
He's played. He played four snaps last week, Ken. How can you say he's terrible? He's barely played.
Last week he is. That's why he's not on the field. And the first game they sat him. I watch him, and what a waste of a 54th pick. It just terrible. That's one that they whiffed on. So
he's
comments. I know you guys are homers, but at the end of the day, you got to be real.
You can stop calling us names, Ken. Okay. If you want to call and express your opinion, you can do that. But don't paint us some way. Okay.
Well, you're homers. You guys are
Ken.
Homers.
Ken, let me just Ken.
Whatever, bud.
Don't hang up on Ken. Ken.
Yes. Yeah.
The Bills are top five in total yards per game given up.
And look at where they are on defense.
That's what I'm saying. They're okay, hold on.
No, they're not.
No, they're the top five. Hold on. You're right. Yes, you're right. Rushing yards a game, they're 17th
in yards allowed.
They're 17th in yards allowed. They're middle of the pack.
I mean,
they're middle of the pack.
You could say they're god awful all you want. I mean, that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion.
Just remember this phone call after Mahomes gets a hold of us, and they play that. They almost play like a prevent defense.
A lot of teams, believe it or not, are doing that, Ken. That's what the Raiders did in the second half last week, and it won them the football game.
Hey, Ken,
they didn't blitz Pat Mahomes because
Ken,
he kills you against the blitz.
Ken, you can say all you want. You can insult the team you root for all you want. Go ahead. You can insult them all you want. Why don't you go cheer for the Jets? That's even better. They'll give you a bigger chance to insult your own team.
Get older. Season ticket holder.
Okay.
Why don't you
that's great. And you're entitled to your opinion, Ken. I'm not denying you. We gave you plenty of time on the air here. But at the same time, I think it's a little early to call the defense god-awful. I mean, there's new parts that they're putting together. And I think it's still it's a work in progress. It's not what it was the last 2 years. That is patently obvious. And the numbers bear that out. I mean, we've said it here on the show.
Yeah.
So
they're not the team they were. They're not the defense they were last year. Absolutely not. And he's right. But I will say, Kenya, you're great. I appreciate it, and I know the club. I'm glad you're a season ticket holder, all that. But you're a fan. Yeah. You're one of the fans.
Fan.
Go ahead.
File since 63.
And I know this, Ken. You are the happiest when you got a good reason to bellyache.
What's that?
You are happiest as a Bills fan when you've got a good reason to crush your team.
No, that's not.
Oh, yeah. Come on, man. You are loving that you can call in and you give you a good reason to criticize them. Because we got a quarterback who's in the MVP conversation. We got like wide receiver core that is the envy of the league. And you are crushing this team. And your attitude is like they got no shot. They're not going to win another game. And Pat Mahomes is going to hang 30 points on them. And I get it. I mean, I get it. You're right. This is a team where, unlike last year, it's the offense is the engine instead of the defense. So you can say that they're god-awful. And I want to hear – you probably said the same thing about the Bills' offense last year.
Yeah. We do have to break, though. So, Ken, thanks for the call. As we give everybody a chance to express their opinion, whether it's positive, negative, neutral, whatever, we don't care. I just don't like us getting painted with a broad brush. That's the only thing that I take issue with. Back in a moment, we have to take a break. Tasker's teammate coming your way next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, and it's that time in the show for the latest installment of Tasker's Teammate. Steve had a little bit of trouble last week getting... you didn't. What'd you get it in? A couple of clues? Two clues. And you got Ted Washington last week. So time for Tasker's Teammate now, which is brought to you by Wegmans Meals to Go. Delicious meals delivered. Download their app today. Clue number one, Steve. A highly recruited high school player, I played my college ball in the SEC.
SEC. Maybe they're not in the SEC. Okay, all right.
Clue number.
Wow,
no, that quick on the trigger finger back there.
That's bad radio. Me standing.
Quick on the trigger finger. Yeah. Okay. Clue number two. In my senior season in college, I was named to the All Conference team at my position.
All Conference senior year in the SEC. Way to narrow it down.
Hey, we're keeping it broad because you're really good at.
All conference and SEC, like Ole Miss or LSU. I don't know.
Clue number three. I'm a few years younger than Steve, and I didn't begin my NFL career until 1989.
Kenny Davis.
It is not Kenny Davis.
Clue number. I don't think he was SEC anyway.
That's right. Clue number four. I think he was in the SWAC, right?
Yeah,
wasn't he?
Been, yeah.
Clue number four.
Wow, 89.
I didn't begin my career with the Bills, but I was a teammate of Steve's for 7 seasons.
Wow.
89.
We've been vague here on purpose.
Wow,
because
no kidding.
Gosh, I don't know. Okay. 7 years. Starting in like somewhere after 89, maybe 90, came in.
These clues should kind of, you should be able to narrow it down as you go here. Okay, next one, Steve. I'll give you another clue. After 10 years with the Bills, I got the opportunity to play for my hometown NFL team to finish out my career.
Okay, now you're giving me a chance.
There we go.
90.
Oh.
No, 89 he started his career?
Started his career in 89, yes.
No, it's not Cornelius Bennett.
And I'll give you an additional bit here. When he started his NFL career, he did it in the NFC in 1989.
That doesn't help. You're not helping. Shut up.
Oh! Pete Metzlars.
It is not Pete
Metzlars. Oh, he was Wabash. What am I saying, SEC? Shut up, Tasker. You dumb.
I still rank as one of the top 20 in NFL history at my position in terms of total yardage.
Eric Moulds.
It is not Eric Moulds. That was a good guess, though, SEC. I saw where you were going there. But he didn't begin his career until 96.
Oh, God.
When I was playing, you were just as likely to find a picture hanging in my locker of me with a deer that I shot as you were to find a picture of me with my wife and kids. How many hunters did you have in the locker room?
Right, I know. But what about that?
I can't believe I've got you. I've gotten this far. I mean, I was vague in the beginning, but
Now I'm going back. The way I picture all that,
I remember seeing a photo of
walking around the locker room now and trying to figure out who it was. I'm struggling. Gotta be. Man, I don't know.
You only want to throw one out?
I can't even guess. No.
Okay. I once co-wrote a country song for country music artist Travis Tritt.
Oh, my gosh. Chris Moore.
That's Chris Moore. That's right. And he's on the line right now. I distinctly remember.
The yardage thing got me.
Didn't total yardage.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Took him long enough, huh?
What are you doing?
Is he there? Can he hear us?
Chris, you hear us? He's all
I
muted.
Don't know what he's doing.
Unmute your phone.
He's not even talking. He's got his Bills shirt on today. Look at that.
Look at him.
Is he talking? I don't know if we can hear him. He's staring at the sky. Oh, he's waving.
At us.
He can hear us. Maybe we can't hear him.
We can't hear him. Yeah. Chris, can you say something? He can't hear us.
No, I don't think he can.
Oh, yeah.
That's
nice.
Too bad.
Nice technical difficulty.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Still 17th.
Oh, I can't believe I didn't get that.
Still 17th all-time in total punting yards in the league right now. And, you know, you think about all the guys booming it as far as they are
now. Look at that. We got a picture of him. Had him up there live. Now he's gone. And we can't even talk to him. That's great. That is
I
perfect.
Distinctly remember walking by his locker as a very young reporter and – I'm staring. I'm like, you know, you usually see guys, they got photos of their kids and their wives and whatever, you know, in the locker room and whatever. I'm walking by. He's got this giant 10-point buck, and he's sitting on the ground, and he's holding the rack up like this. I was like, okay. I wasn't expecting it. I didn't know what
Crick
to expect.
Crick's country. Yeah, he's – yeah.
Yeah, he's
– yeah, he was – he started – he had a really nice relationship with Ralph because of the no-punt game.
Oh,
Ralph was like, hey, why did I have to pay you? You didn't even work.
So they started in Tampa Bay.
Right, started in Tampa Bay.
Then actually played a year in the World League for Montreal Machine.
Yeah, Montreal Machine. He actually went into the league in Tampa Bay with Steve Christie. He held for Steve Christie there, and then they ended up reuniting here in Buffalo, and they both played together for a bunch of years. Chris was – I tell people this, and I've got a lot of good friends – who are punters like John Kidd and those guys. I tell people Chris was the best punter I ever chased kicks for. Yeah. He was really good.
Guy that for a short time had the little mullet thing going, business in the front, party in the back.
We all did, man. That was kicking back then. I'll tell you another story, too. Chris went, I think he was headed for the NFL record of number of punts to punt with ever having one blocked.
Well, I looked it up. Guess how many punts he had blocked in his entire career? I think he played 14 years.
I think he had one, right? One or two?
Four.
Four?
Which is still a very low number for a guy with a career that long.
His career, but all through Buffalo, the time in Buffalo, never had one blocked until the game I got thrown out of.
Yeah.
They blocked a punt after I got thrown out.
So, unfortunately, we weren't able to get a hold of Chris. We're having connection issues trying to get with him. He's out probably somewhere.
He looked like he was on a football field training.
Yeah, it looked like he was doing something.
He does work with young punters. I know that.
Which is great. So Chris Moore is your latest answer to Tasker's teammate. And I knew I had to be vague because I know you know a lot about that guy. So
are you kidding me?
You know, you're tight with him. So I knew if I gave you
any – I am godfather to one of his boys.
So. Yeah, so if I gave you any squeaker of a clue, you would have been through and done. But we have to take a break because when we come back, we got to get out to the practice field to Matty Glab to get an update on the injured players and how everybody's looking. Back in a moment here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live, hour number one of a Friday edition of the show, and we waste no time in heading out to the practice field where one Matty Glab joins us to give us an update on how things are looking on the injury front for the Bills heading into the Monday night game. So, Matty, I understand things are looking pretty good, all things considered, right?
All things considered, based on the week that we had last week and some of the injuries that we had last week, things are looking pretty good. And they started to look good, I would say, on the injury report that came out yesterday. It seemed like we had a lot of full participants, only a couple limited guys. It was a walkthrough today. I'm seeing pads on almost all of our guys, more shells. Actually, no, they're in shells today. It's looking good, though. Not too many guys in red. We've got one player in red, and I'll get to that later. So who should we start with first?
Yeah, Tre'Davious White, of course. That was a guy that's of major interest to Bills fans after we saw the coverage problems the team had last week. How's he looking?
Tre'Davious White is out here. He is not in red. He's looking good. They're in special teams right now. They're finishing up right now. So he's kind of been on the side with his other cornerbacks doing some drills with the coaches. But so far, so good. They're about to start individual drills, so we'll see how much he participates. But him not being in a red non-contact jersey is definitely a good sign for his back. We really haven't seen Trey White miss much practices. And last week, he missed every practice and then didn't play in the game, something that we don't see out of a competitor like him. So we hope he's getting well, and we hope he can play in this game against the Chiefs because, man, oh, man, we are going to need him.
What about that guy you mentioned in a red non-contact jersey? Who is that?
So red non-contact, that would be Tremaine Edmonds. He is back in a red non-contact jersey. We haven't really seen him in a red non-contact jersey, I'd say, in a week. I don't believe he was in one at all last week.
No, he wasn't.
Matt Milano was the one who was being held out. So he's got a red non-contact jersey on. I wonder if that shoulder's starting to aggravate him a little bit more. He's been asked about it, and Leslie Frazier was asked about his play and his shoulder and coming back, and it just seems like Tremaine's been pretty tough and a strong guy for being able to get through these games. I wonder if he's 100%. He's in that red non-contact, so we'll see how that affects coming up against the Chiefs on Monday, possibly. We'll get that injury report this afternoon after practice.
Two offensive players, Maddie, that were full go yesterday for the first time in a little while here, John Brown and then Zach Moss, who's been a limited participant probably for more than 2 weeks now, a full participant yesterday, and then John Brown a full participant, although it was listed as a knee injury, not a calf injury. Are those guys back out there and going today?
Yeah, John's got the knee and Zach has got the toe. They are both out here and they are fully dressed, no red non-contact jersey for them. And I've got to point out something interesting. When I was like fumbling over trying to explain if they were in shells or not in shells or in pads, it looks like John Brown and Steph Diggs are in full pads and a lot of other guys are not in full pads. So I don't know if that was just a choice for Steph Diggs and John Brown today to be fully suited up. But from a lot of other players, I'm just kind of seeing pants and their jerseys.
What
so,
about
a little bit of both here at practice right today on a weird week for everybody.
Does Matt Milano seem to be limited in any way?
No, Matt Milano is in a white jersey. The defense is wearing white this week, so he is not limited in, at all right now. They have started individual drill, and it looks like he is participating in that.
And it looks like, you know, the offensive linemen are all good to go after a couple of them were nicked up last week in Cody Ford and Brian Winters. Obviously, both of them played last week. And then we saw Quentin Spain was a full participant yesterday. So the line getting really healthy really fast, it seems.
Yep, the line looks pretty good. I mean, Quentin Spain is out here fully dressed. John Feliciano is out here fully dressed. Those are things you want to see. Don't want any injuries heading into that Kansas City Chiefs game, any lingering injuries. So great to see both of them out here fully dressed today.
Yeah, that's it. Good stuff. Is there anything else of note that's going on that makes you, that gives you pause or caught your eye about anything unusual?
Nothing unusual today, guys. And I've got to say that's a good thing because I don't want anything unusual right on Friday with the game on Monday. Okay, yeah. I just want us to be healthy and happy. That's it.
Yeah, amen to that one. All right, Maddie, we appreciate the update. Thanks for bringing us up to speed on that long list there. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, guys.
All right, Maddie Klab out at practice. And, Steve, I got to tell you, the thing that obviously it's encouraging that Tre'Davious White is out there for a second straight day. He was limited yesterday, out there again today after getting some work, so that's an encouraging sign. But I might be most excited about Zach Moss being a full participant yesterday. That's the first time in 3 weeks he is a full participant in practice as we're watching John Brown do the circle drill, and he looks to be moving pretty well too.
Yeah.
I can't tell. Does he have a knee brace on?
So he's got a knee brace on
his left
knee.
Yeah, he's got a knee brace on his knee.
Sleeve,
or a sleeve anyway.
And what she's noticing too with the wide receivers, all of them having on their pads, probably the DBs maybe have their pads on, maybe the running backs. They do that for the ball handling and catching so they can get used to catching with their pads. It's easier to catch with no shirt on, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because you have more range of motion.
Right, and you want to get used to catching the ball with all your gear on. So the wide receivers, DBs, running backs maybe will also have their pads on all the time. The linemen may go shells, that kind of thing. But, the offensive guys will upgrade their gear so that they can stay sharp with their ball handling.
But if Zach Moss is good to go, that is certainly a change in – what the Bills can do offensively, especially with the run game. And I'm a big proponent of them expanding that this week because I think they've got to try to balance this offense out a little bit more than they have the first few weeks. And the Chiefs are a defense that has not been good at stopping the run. So to me, you're facing a team that's given up 157 yards on the ground a week, and you've got Moss and Singletary. I'm going to go right back to that split back package there, Steve, that we were talking about yesterday. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
Here's the thing, too. I went back, like I told you, and watched a couple of the early games for the Bills. You know what I noticed that I've forgotten about? In the second quarter, first half of the Dolphins game, Singletary and Moss were tearing them up on the ground.
Yeah.
They didn't stick with it very much throughout the game because for whatever reason they happened. They hung 31 points on those guys. But Singletary and Moss were running the ball extremely well.
It was just starting to get traction, the running game.
And then it got derailed by Moss coming out of the game and all that. But I don't know whether why Singletary couldn't keep it going or whatever. But nevertheless, it's the one part, you forget there have been stretches, small, albeit small ones, where the team has run the ball well. And I forgot that in the second quarter of that Miami game, the Dolphins got caught. They were getting pushed around.
We got a couple of guys waiting on hold here at 803-0550, so we do want to get to them real quick here before we have to break. Tom in New York, thanks for joining us. What do you have for us here on One Bills Live, Tom?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to call in and tell you, first off, I appreciate both of you for what you do for us and the Bills Mafia.
Sure thing.
Us abreast of everything Bills. And I just wanted to respond to Ken's call. Yeah, I'm watching you guys on TV, and it's kind of funny, Chris, watching your facial response to when he called in. I think he's must be a little hangry. Maybe he needs a Snickers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't agree with anything he said, and I think they don't realize the drought we've been in and where we're at now and how far we've come, and also the fact that these guys may be a little rusty with the pandemic and everything.
Yeah.
Well, I think what we should do is remember the great phrase from Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X, relax and let's just enjoy the season. And thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it,
Tom. Thank you. My wife tells me that I have a face like Jim Carrey. It's almost too expressive sometimes. apparently people are noticing that on television. So,
You're right. I mean, there's a lot to be excited about for this season, just like there was last season when they got off to a good start as well. Particularly doing what we do, Brownie, we get the full spectrum of Bills fans. We get guys like Ken who can't find much good to talk about. They'd rather talk about all the stuff, the problems. And you got other people that are saying, we weren't going to win all 16 of them, but let's go, You get everything in between that, and I think that's where most Bills fans are. And, of course, all the Bills fans you talk about on our crisis hotline, they're trying to do whatever they can to help, right?
Yeah.
They got to wear the right T-shirt.
Guy's
not
thinking about moving
clothes.
Back to his old apartment to help him win.
He's trying to raise his rent and go back to a bad place.
In a worse neighborhood.
Right. In order to
as
get
long
a
as
win.
The Bills win.
As long as they win, that's fine. So you get everything in there. But he's right. Tom's right. There's a lot to be excited about. I think the thing that is different about Sean McDermott, and the drought is getting further and further into history, but when Sean McDermott came in and the first year he took over, when they went to the playoffs, when they at the beginning of the season, they were accused of tanking, and they got to the playoffs. This has been a team that I can't wait to watch him on Sunday, because they're just a lot of fun.
Right.
I went through some dark times in 2018 when they were 6-10, but even then I was like, man, I can't get enough of Josh. I want to see him play because he's getting better. Now this year you come into 2020 with all the problems with COVID going around and stuff. This is still a team. It has been as it has been the entire tenure of Sean McDermott, man, people just can't get enough of these guys. I want to see him play. I want to see him stack up against the world champions, because unlike decades past, if we're healthy, I think we got a shot.
Tough to beat.
Yeah, we're tough to beat.
Let's get back to the phones and to Zach in West Seneca. Zach, you're on One Bills Live. Thanks for joining us. What do you have?
Hey, everybody seems to be piggybacking on Ken and his lovely call. I mean, I appreciate his frustration, but I mean, you got to look at it, through the right lens. One thing's going on in this league is a lot of defenses are having trouble, and this Bills team has shown under McDermott that they can figure it out. And these are the same guys that have been a part of a top five defenses the last two or three years. There's not a lot of different parts. So you make the argument they may have upgraded with Mario Addison and, some other spots. This past week, which, you had Josh Norman coming in there who hasn't played, all but a half going into the season, and then you had an undrafted rookie free agent on the other side, and then you're down Matt Milano, who's probably going to set the market at linebacker. So I think that you get these guys healthy, and you give McDermott time to figure it out. These are all proven players that can probably figure it out, and a coach that has proven time and time again he can figure it out. Tough task with the Super Bowl champs coming to town, but you gotta just trust the coach and look at his history with your own team and just have an understanding of that. Just second point, if I could, I would love to see us have some fans at some point. I know our governor is a big fan of us. I'm sure he's listening. So I'd love to show him the stadium if at all possible. I know he's wanted to, and he's eager to get here. And I've been there many times. So if he's listening, Andrew, I'd love to show you the place and show you how we could do it safely. Thanks, guys. And Steve, you're a Hall of Famer. Thanks.
Right, yeah, Zach, he's been to the stadium. The governor has been to the stadium. He was here last year during
the game. He did talk about wanting to come up here now to see what practices the team would put in place to maybe make a better assessment as to whether or not to lift the current 50-person limit on gatherings in public. So whether that comes to pass, we'll have to wait and see. He still hasn't been up here to visit to this point.
Right.
Certainly nothing's going to change between now and Monday, unfortunately.
No.
But yeah.
After the first, I don't think you've got a chance until after the first of the year. And we've got to have some milestones reached.
Well, and the other problem is this, and I just read this in the New York Times this morning. The infection rate is rising, increasing in every state in the union. It is not going down.
It's going up.
Anywhere in the country. So that's troubling, too, and that certainly doesn't help the cause of NFL clubs that are trying to get fans in their building, even at a limited capacity. All right, we have to take a break, but when we return, it is time for the lowdown. Lorenzo Alexander will join us to break down this game coming up between the Bills and the Chiefs. He'll give us a sense as to what he's seen on film from these two clubs and how teams have defended these two high-flying passing attacks. It's all coming your way next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.